one esteemed with the gifts of divine grace, and writing in Christ to Rimbert, the honored elder, Ratramnus greets him in the Lord Jesus Christ everlasting. After you were informed of our request, you wrote to us about these things you were able to learn concerning the nature of the Cynocephali, and you pleased me more than a little. Indeed, I'm going to revise very little of what you claimed about them, but you will know that by no means did I come to this sentiment out of the torpor of carelessness, but that I was in fact uncertain of what was not attested by the presence of an informer. But now, Brother Solward is coming to us and will return to you, and given this opportunity, we were anxious to briefly disclose what we thought concerning your investigation. For you are asking what you ought to think of the Cynocephali, namely, whether they were descended from Adam's stock, or if they have the souls of beasts. This question can be briefly settled as follows. If we were to consider the kind of people there are, it should seem obvious that they had been descended from the offspring of the first humans. And of course, it is impossible to suppose that a person came from some other origin than through the means of their earliest ancestors. If we ponder about the species of beasts, named as such by humans, by their nature they don't communicate. Meanwhile, with this knowledge, if we were indeed satisfied with our supposition, which is clearly held by the learned church ministers, then they, the Cynocephali, should be considered closer to beasts than humans, if in fact they have a canine head shape and bark like dogs. It shows they are not humans, but are similar to beasts. Next. A human head is round and placed on top so he can behold the heavens, whereas the dog's head is oblong and drawn out in a snout so he looks to the ground. And humans talk, but dogs, in fact, bark. Truly, from these letters you kindly sent us, while they studiously report the nature of these Cynocephali, they indicate several things which seem to agree that they have the reasoning mind of a human, rather than the sensibilities of a beast. Evidently, they uphold the laws of their society, they are said to live together in houses, they practice agriculture, they harvest crops, they show that they respect customs which are not beastly by clothing themselves with human-like modesty, and this is evidence for their sense of shame. They don't just use hides for garments, but you even wrote that they have cloth. Now, in a way, all these things seem to testify that a rational mind is present within them. For since a civil society may be described as the unification of degenerate people equally under the same law, and since these Cynocephali are said to live together with each other in communal houses, I believe the distinguishing factor of civility fits in helpfully with such creatures. And if in fact they form a crowd when they gather together, they can only live together under some kind of lawful agreement. Indeed, where some type of law is preserved, it is also held together with the unanimous agreement of wills, and any sort of law cannot exist where it isn't decreed by collective consent. Certainly, laws can neither be set in place nor ever preserved without some kind of moral instruction. Truly, now, your letter shows that they cultivate fields, plow the earth and sow seeds in the countryside to gain profit, and that they are skilled in craft. These traits would be completely unknown if the Cynocephali were not endowed with a reasoning mind to support them. And as a matter of fact, it is reasonable to look for the purpose of a single action. Where there is a purpose, what is it that makes the soil fertile? Why did it yield an abundance of seed? Without the agricultural knowledge of these things, could never be cultivated. Moreover, they have the diligence of a rational mind to know how to make clothing from either hide or wool or linen, for they could not have obtained these things without some kind of workmanship, and the knowledge of craft is only bestowed upon a rational mind. But to clothe themselves in shame is a sign of honour, which is not sought for unless they can judge in their mind the difference between disgrace and decency. And surely no one can blush about immodesty unless they happen to have some concept of decency. Now, nobody, except someone who lacks reason, would deny that these things are all characteristic of a rational mind. On this subject, when you say that there seems to be other things among the Senecaphali, you give evidence that a rational mind really is present in them. Truly, man is distinguished from the beasts only by his rationality. People seem to be better at reasoning than animals. The published account of the martyr Saint Christopher seems to adequately support this understanding. Now, as it was read there, he is thought to have come from this race of people, and he fully committed both his life and martyrdom to radiant virtues, for it is believed that he was divinely influenced to be baptized with the help of a cloud pouring all over him, as evidenced by his account. Additionally, many things are being reported with spreading fame, things which seem to suggest that these race of people is in command of rational thought. Isidore said that in his notes, when he was talking about the varieties of monsters which originated from the human race in the Book of Etymologies, and just as there are monstrous individuals within the clans of people, so there are monstrous clans within the greater human race, the giants, the Senecaphali, the Cyclops, etc., etc. In saying this, he clearly showed that he believed the Senecaphali had originated from the offspring of the first man. For, just as in the separate clans, certain tribes seem to be born against the laws of nature. For example, the two-headed, the Tremani, the dwarfs, the hermaphrodites, or androgynes, and many more besides. However, these monsters don't arise against the laws of nature, but they come about in a certain way with their own peculiar disposition, since the natural law is an arrangement of God. In the same way also, these marvelous monsters seem to introduce a monstrous branch to the natural lineage of the entire human race. Monsters who were mentioned above, and many more besides, and which take a long time to list. The pygmies and the back to front, the form of which is said to stand only a cubit in height, and it is said that the latter's feet are turned around behind their legs, and that they have 8 toes in each foot. The horse hoofed, who are a mix of human body with the feet of a horse. The macrobi, standing nearly twice as tall as a regular human. And the tribe of women in India who conceive at the age of 5 and don't live longer than 8 years. And many other extraordinary creatures are told about. But although these monsters reportedly originated from the human race, they are hardly ever said to be people who are equipped with a rationality that is to their strength. Indeed, in regards to the giants who are counted among these monsters, almost no one doubts that these people were born from humans, and since these creatures are supported with the authority of divine scripture, we should not omit them. While the Senecaphali are numbered together with these monsters, they are even thought to be sentient. Certainly if the things which are read concerning St. Christopher are established, seeing that this well-known rumour about them spread. But although we may think as much, it does not follow that whatever is produced from a human being is also human, and has been granted with the genius of human reason. For instance, it is read that a calf was born from a lady, or that a serpent emerged from a woman. But consequently, I would agree that neither the calf nor the serpent had a human or rational mind.